This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Coming up on today's Noon Business Hour, the coronavirus spooks investors. General Motors is investing in autonomous vehicles. Amazon will reportedly invest in Chicago South Side. And the week features the latest tally of the gross domestic product and a two-day meeting of the Federal Reserve.
And as you just heard from Elisa, the market's down sharply, the Dow down 332 points. That may be because concern is growing as the coronavirus continues its spread through China and beyond. To talk about it, we're joined by Kriti Gupta, a Markets Live reporter for Bloomberg based in New York. Kriti, good to have you with us. So is today's fall, is it sort of seen that this is because of the uncertainty over the coronavirus?
Absolutely. That's what's driving headlines this morning. We're seeing the Dow almost nearly erase all the gains it's made since the start of the year. The S&P down over 1%. Things just aren't looking good. There's fear really widespread through the markets. This was a lot of what we saw last week in the Chinese markets, now very clearly spread to Europe and to the United States today.
So is the fear based on the fact that there's still so much unknown? I mean, we don't know if this will be contained or if this will just keep spreading.
Well, the markets never like uncertainty, right? That's just a rule. So part of this is the uncertainty, that fear factor playing into markets. The other part is we've really been looking for a pullback in stocks. Stocks have been on just an unbreakable rally since the fourth quarter, really rallying on that trade optimism. It doesn't seem like there's really any negative headlines here for stocks to really pull back on. And that kind of seems like that's what stocks are also reacting to today. We have the uncertainty in the market. So there may be a little bit of an overreaction here because we're not directly seeing a spread or a contagion here in the United States. The flip argument of that is we are certainly going to see an economic impact in China. We're going to see the economy take a hit in their first quarter GDP. That's already kind of a given considering that they're having this prolonged shutdown, essentially. So the reaction over in the U.S. markets and the European markets, that's really another fear factor adding into that uncertainty.
And Kriti, we know that airlines are taking a hit, but what other U.S. sectors might be particularly concerned about coronavirus?
Airlines, for sure, that's a big one. Really off those, that commodity. So anything happening related to commodities, those metals stocks, those miners, any oil producers, oil really taking a hit, that's really the sectors that I'm watching that are going to take the brunt of this hit. Like I said, the commodities index really down because of those fears of demand being stopped from China.
We know that there are U.S.-based businesses that also operate overseas. What actions have they been taking to try to help contain this?
Well, it kind of seems like a lot of the business travel has been paused for now. So a lot of the travel, not just to China, of course, but to Singapore, to South Korea, to Japan, those are the really just kind of precautions that are being taken, at least by American businesses. So I think a part of that is just let's not bring in the spread into the United States. We're also seeing headlines out of Credit Suisse today. That's a really interesting story to actually look at to really understand how Europe is handling this. Credit Suisse telling anyone who's traveled to China to work from home to kind of prevent any spread here in the United States and here in Europe.
Kriti Gupta, Markets Live reporter with Bloomberg. Thanks for joining us. Week ahead, we'll include a Fed announcement on interest rates, numbers on the gross domestic product, and more earnings reports, including the latest from Apple. We welcome Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist, McClatchy Tribune News Services. Tom, as we mentioned, an earnings extravaganza week. What's expected among the bigwigs like Apple and Starbucks and Boeing?
Great to be with you again, Jennifer and Cisco. Pretty good numbers, although not as great in terms of the growth year over year compared to a year ago. So it's kind of a what have you done for me lately kind of scenario. The earnings will be generally strong, and we've seen companies manage their earnings and manage those expectations pretty well. But I think it's going to be overshadowed certainly by the virus news out of China. And that has been really the tipping point for a lot of investors that have been very successful, and even in the short term of just this month in January, the first month of the year, to take some profits off the table. So companies are going to really have to put some reassuring words together even more than numbers, at least for the short term.
What about Boeing, Chicago-based Boeing? Because they have a new CEO, and that kind of fell in between this reporting period here. So what can we expect?
Lots of big questions there. I mean, the company is out with a new one of its newest airliners here beginning testing, but obviously the shadow of the 737 MAX Air continues to hang over Boeing, continues to be a hang on its stock as well. And the new CEO and the entire company has got to be focused from an investor perspective on getting the clearance for those airplanes to get into the fleet. But perhaps most importantly, the communications it's going to have to need for the flying public to assure those customers that once those planes are back in the fleet, that customers are going to want to be on them and pay for those tickets.
Interested, Tom, in whether or not there's a concern over what earnings season may look like next time around, given the fact in our last segment we talked about coronavirus, the impact it's having, especially in China. You have McDonald's closing some restaurants, Disney shutting down theme parks. It seems like this may be an impact down the line that, we'll see down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. McDonald's, Yum Brands, right, with KFC in China. Even Apple phones are being sold in China. Maybe we'll hear a little bit about that today after the close when Apple reports its earnings. But there's so much uncertainty, obviously, around the virus, around the Chinese work to contain the virus and the long-term, even the short-term impact that it may have on kind of economic activity when it comes to American companies that are doing some significant business there. All of that adds up to risk off, and that's what we're seeing today. Sell, and let's learn the news later.
So what do we expect from the Fed here getting ready to meet again this week?
So, you know, on one hand, we want some certainty from companies, right? We'd like to know how they're dealing with China, what they're dealing with this quarter. The Federal Reserve, on the meantime, Cisco and Jennifer, would love to operate in ambiguity. They would like the market and investors to be confident, but to give themselves every opportunity to respond to any kind of economic hiccup from the virus in China to the impeachment process to politics, to be able to respond in any way, shape, or form. We know we expect them not to do anything with interest rates. The question is, what are some of those markers it's looking at? It was a global slowdown in the last part of last year that allowed the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. Now it wants to wait and see. Brexit is coming up in the weeks ahead, of course. Obviously, the election here in the United States provides some uncertainty, and the trade issues with China still out there, even with the phase one deal that's been signed now in the Oval Office.
Always good insight and analysis. Thank you, Tom Hudson. Tom is the Week Ahead columnist for McClatchy Tribune News Services.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon's planning a new facility. It will be located on the far south side in the Pullman neighborhood. Let's get the latest details. Greg Hines is joining us, columnist for Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, always good to have you with us. So what do we know so far about this plan?
Well, we know two things. We know that according to Alderman Tony Beal, who represents the Ninth Ward that includes the Pullman area, he says a deal in principle has been reached in which Amazon is going to build a warehouse distribution center, what they call a wish fulfillment center, of about 150,000 square feet, almost 40 acres of land in the Pullman area. It's going to employ 200, maybe 300 people later and include some pretty good jobs for people. And he says he's very confident that this is going to come about. Merrill Lightfoot, on the other hand, that's the other thing we know, seems to be a little bit skeptical that this deal is actually fully cooked yet. She was approached at an event today and said, well, I think the Alderman's ahead of himself a little bit. So we'll have to see. Amazon hasn't said anything yet, and the owner of the property hasn't said anything yet. But if it happens, and the Alderman sounds very peppy about it, it's really good news for a part of town that certainly could use some good jobs.
Any sort of a back and forth at all over the property taxes? It would become a much more valuable piece of land.
It would. Beal indicated that if this occurs, that the company is going to seek a 6B abatement, which is a rather routine thing. It's a up to a 10-year property tax cut in Cook County. It's offered to new industrial developers. We offer a lot of those in this jurisdiction on the theory that we want to keep factory jobs. They're hard to get these days, and they pay well. But it looks like Amazon is going to apply for that. There's no TIF money involved, and I'm not sure whether any other kind of incentives at this point might be within reach for the county, for the company, maybe state payroll credits.
And Greg, companies often like those tax breaks, but what is it that Amazon likes about Chicago? Is it the central location, the available workers?
Amazon corporately has been moving. Once upon a time, Amazon had these big shipping centers located in states, a few states, low tax states, not including Illinois. But they've changed their business model now. They've decided that their customers, they don't want to wait 3 or 4 days to get their stuff. They want it right now. Well, that means you have to locate warehouses close to where the people are. So little by little, they've been opening more in Illinois. They started off in places here like Aurora and Joliet on the periphery, and they've been moving toward the city proper where a lot of people live. And if this happens, it's a tribute to the fact that Amazon has decided that it might cost us a little more to operate in the city than it would out in the Greenfield site, but we want to keep our customers happy, and they want their stuff right now.
Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business, thanks for joining us. Still ahead, General Motors makes a major investment in autonomous vehicles and electric trucks and SUVs.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Great to have you with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
General Motors focuses on the electric SUV and truck market while continuing its push into autonomous vehicles.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro.
Senate Republicans say they will consider calling John Bolton as a witness at the presidential impeachment trial.
The Bulls will honor Kobe Bryant before tonight's home game against the Spurs.
On Wall Street, the Dow down 332 points. NASDAQ is down 136. The S&P down 38. And oil today is down right about 2.5%.
AccuWeather says the rest of today mainly cloudy, a high 34. Remaining cloudy tonight, a low 29. It's 33 degrees at O'Hare and the lakefront, 32 at Midway.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago.
Markets are falling today, and we're joined by Chris Everett, financial planner and president, Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park. Welcome, Chris. A not-so-hot day on Wall Street. What's going on?
No, that's okay, Jennifer. You know what? It's a horrible time when you have a new virus coming online, right? But the good news is this is the first earnings season of 2020 and of the new decade. And there are 471 companies reporting earnings this week. So I'm really encouraged and obviously overshadowed by the coronavirus that will probably not leak into every conversation, because I think the coronavirus information is still too new. So we don't really have enough information as to how long it will last and how important it will really be. But typically, January earnings tend to be a little more conservative, so we'll just see how the coronavirus overshadows those conversations.
Well, keeping with that, as you mentioned, a lot of earnings coming out over the week. What are you keeping your eye on?
Well, you know, China is really having a hard time right now, so we haven't been invested overseas for quite a while. And now that the Asian Lunar New Year is happening, I'm a little worried about Apple because, you know, people are going to be not going, not shopping. In addition to companies like that getting hit, oil being way down, travel halted around the globe because they don't want to bring the virus anywhere near, food-related retailers shutting down across China. So that kind of stuff just reinforces my opinions that I'd go there earlier, not that I knew about the coronavirus. Mining companies getting hit, healthcare and biotech, though, probably doing quite well. I'm being careful to separate rumor from fact. I mean, one prime example, Novavax reports that they're working on the virus and they end up spiking 17% on the news, but they're nowhere closer to coming up with an antivirus than the rest of the community. So we really have to be careful and kind of take a wait and see on that.
So off and on the show, Chris, we've had a lot of analysts talk about the market being a little overheated. Things have been really good. We probably need a pullback. Does this present an opportunity for some of those investors who feel like things are maybe a little expensive to pull a little money off the table?
I don't like that narrative, frankly. I think that we have way too many positive things happening. Now, having said that, Corona is definitely impacting the market. When I looked at some of the other viruses that have impacted the market, I think we have to go down a little bit more before I'm a buyer, maybe 7.5-10% before we really see a time to jump in, and then I'd be very selective. My clients tend to be very long-term investors. We're looking for quality. It's a great time to be buying the quality. Not yet, but soon.
Yeah, and that sort of, as you mentioned, that narrative about, you know, things being expensive, get out, you know, time for a pullback, we need it. A lot of that almost sounds like a gut, maybe common sense decision. Hey, the market can't rise forever, but the data makes it seem like, you know, things are going okay. Maybe this can ride a little longer.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, I don't buy the negative narrative. We have too many positive things happening, primarily the tax cuts and deregulation. You know, if you go back all the way to 2017, Cisco, we had the highest corporate tax rate in the world at 40%. I mean, we were essentially subsidizing growth around the world, which was crazy. So now that Trump has brought the corporate rate down to 27%, we're kind of somewhere in the middle. We are in a much better place. Taxes tend to put such a strain on everything. Plus, if you look at these emerging technologies that are coming, like blockchain, what an important cloud-based solution to safely store data. I think that's going to be a huge positive change for us. So I would be looking toward companies like IBM, Microsoft, all the big banks and the financial companies that are behind the scenes, you know, scurrying to put this blockchain technology in place, because you know how important safely storing data is. We've got artificial intelligence making machines smarter. We've got the Internet of Things connecting billions of devices. You know, it's just so many positive things happening. And when you look at the rest of the world, 50% of the rest of the world has negative yields. So money flows where it's treated best. Even in kind of goofy times like this, when you've got a new virus to tend with.
Chris, what's the expectation when Q4 GDP comes out?
You know, I think that we've had a relatively, you know, okay Q4. So I'm not expecting anything horrible. I think most of the conversation going forward is going to be the impact of Corona on some of these companies.
And then the Fed is also getting together. This time last year, it seemed like the Fed was going to be a little aggressive, and that quickly changed. Are we going to see, do you think, more of the same coming out of this new meeting, the first of the year, that we saw ending last year? It's just kind of quiet.
I think they're going to hold pat. I don't think they're going to change anything right now. It's not the time.
All right. Good analysis. Thank you, Chris Everett, financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park. Up next, GM's latest plans for autonomous and electric vehicles.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
General Motors says it will invest $3 billion for the production of electric trucks and autonomous vehicles. Let's get all the details from John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv based in Detroit. John, kind of give us the nuts and bolts of what General Motors is doing here.
Yeah, well, as you all know, electric cars are coming. GM is going to dedicate one of its assembly plants in Detroit to making only electric vehicles. One of the reasons it wants to do that is you can reduce labor cost in a vehicle if you dedicate it to only making battery electric vehicles. But it's going to be making pickup trucks. It's going to be making SUVs. And in fact, the strong rumors are out there that it may even bring back the Hummer brand, not as a standalone brand, maybe as a trim line. And that would be a pretty wild change, going from one of the vehicles that environmentalists absolutely excoriated to making it a clean battery electric.
And John, the GM just made an autonomous vehicle announcement in California last week, so this follows in the heels of that.
It does, because that autonomous vehicle is also going to be electric, and going forward, to hold costs down, GM is going to use essentially one platform. Think of it as one kind of frame that can be stretched or widened to accommodate different vehicles. And by using the same kind of, to use the industry jargon, to use the same architecture, it could drastically cut cost by basing all these different kind of vehicles on the same kind of architecture.
And you could take this from one of two possibilities. When it comes to electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles, which of the big three is lagging?
Well, it's Fiat Chrysler, clearly. I mean, it just hasn't had the resources to develop these kinds of things on its own. Now, when it comes to autonomous vehicles, it's partnering with Waymo, which arguably is the most advanced company in the world when it comes to that technology. When it comes to electrics, It looks like Fiat Chrysler is going to rely heavily on suppliers, many of whom have done all the research and have got components and batteries and electric motors and that to sell to it. But there's no question that GM and Ford are way ahead of Fiat Chrysler.
So as the electric and autonomous vehicles, obviously, as you mentioned, that steps up, that is the future. Do the employees who make these cars, are they well positioned to just sort of transition from making one type of automobile to another? Or is there more training? Is there maybe a different type of employee that they're looking for?
Oh, there will definitely be more training. Although, you know, basically the cars are pretty much the same. Instead of installing a piston engine with a transmission, exhaust pipe, and gas tank and all that, you're going to put in an electric motor and a battery pack. Other than that, almost everything is the same. But the training is going to come with that battery pack. You're talking about a lot of juice there, a lot of electricity in that thing. So there will be some safety training, but it's not going to really hinder it. The industry knows how to do these things.
John, on another note, the December sales come out pretty soon. What do you expect out of that report? And is the industry going to be able to make $17 million this year? What do the analysts say?
Well, that's a great point. You know, we ended up last year at just over $17 million. And for the fifth year in a row, something nobody thought was going to be possible. Most of the analysts are predicting that sales will come down a little bit this year, but they said the same thing last year, and they were wrong. And I'll point this out. As long as the economy is relatively healthy, car sales never go down in a presidential election year. The powers that be make sure the spigots get open and the sales stay strong. So my guess is it'll come in as a pretty good year.
And is this still the year of the truck and the SUV with sedans just kind of sitting on the side?
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Sedan sales fell, you know, significantly, another 10 to 12% last year. We're getting closer to the bottom, but it has not hit bottom yet.
John McElroy, thanks so much for all of the information. John is an automotive industry analyst. He's also host of Autoline.tv.
Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us out this afternoon is Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist, Inverness Council. And Tim, your first stock pick is a discount chain. Which one and why?
Hi, Jennifer. Yes, Dollar General, which is up today in a down market, not a bad thing. This is obviously a dollar store, a retailer of general merchandise. Spread throughout the country, more rural areas than urban, but really exposed across the country. And we think it's one of the better run dollar stores, if not the best run dollar store. So it's a great pick. It's also a recessionary play. If the economy does roll over, we don't think it's going to, but if it were, and eventually it will, these stores pick up business from higher-priced merchandisers.
You said better run. Better run in which way? Is it from the angle of selection, inventory control, management?
Really all of that. We think just the management is totally on top of things here. They really merchandise the products well in the stores. Everything is fresh. They're adding in produce. They're just well placed in terms of the location, and also, you know, their stores are somewhat near each other, so delivery to the stores from the main company is very easy, and that's cost effective.
In general, whether it's Dollar General or one of the other similar stores, when the economy is going well, do they suffer, or has there been sort of a mindset shift where there's just certain people that regularly go to Dollar General and the others?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both, Cisco. When the economy is picking up, people trade up to probably more expensive stores that may be closer, or they might have to drive further to, but might have bigger discounts than dollar stores, or better quality merchandise, higher end merchandise. So it's a little bit of both. I don't think they suffer in a good economy. They just really benefit in a down economy.
Okay, so Dollar General is your first pick. The ticker symbol is DG. What's your second pick?
Cisco, it's a Applied Materials. The symbol is AMAT. This is obviously a technology company. They provide the solutions or the product that make semiconductors. So the machinery that makes semiconductors is supplied by Applied Materials. They work very closely with the semiconductor companies to come up with the best manufacturing equipment, the most efficient, the most precise. Really, this is not as cyclical as the semiconductor companies themselves. The semiconductor companies have to continuously innovate, and they do that with the help of Applied Materials. The stock has had a really nice move here along with the semiconductor group, but we think it has much further to go here when we get back into an up market.
That is Dollar General DG, ticker symbol, and Applied Materials, AMAT, the ticker symbol, and Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist with Inverness Council. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just rewind to the time you want. We have a pause and rewind function. It works both online and by updating the radio.com app and podcasts of the Noon Business Hour, available anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.